morning, all. We're up to Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav, the second chapter in the sixth Mishnah. So we've gotten to the part where we've accepted that the new custom, or not new for us, but the new custom as far as the Mishnah was concerned, was that since they no longer use the torch system of lighting the fires in the mountains, they now collecting witnesses. So once we get to the point where we have to collect the witnesses to sanctify the new month, Rosh Chodesh, the mission wants to know how exactly were they examined? How were they asked to testify? In other words, was it just a simple thing or was it complex? So the mission says that they had a bit of an interrogation. Let's see what the mission says. Ketzad bodkin esa'idim. How did the judges actually examine the witnesses when they came to testify about the new month? Zug shaba rishon bodkin oso rishon. So the first pair of witnesses that came was the first one to be cross-examined. Machnisin esa gadol shabahen omrim lo. So the judges, they would bring the older one of the witnesses, separating him from his other friend, from the other guy in the pair, and they would take the first one in to ask him questions. So what would they ask him? So they would say to him as follows, Emor Kesad Reisa Esalavana. They would say, how exactly did you see this new moon? Was the unlit part of the moon, so in other words, the part that was not illuminated of the moon, was that toward the sun or was it away from the sun? And the obvious question is, this is a trick question. If the guy says that the unlit part of the sun was towards the sun, well, that doesn't make any sense, because we know the part of the sun, the part of the moon that is facing closest to the sun, that's the part that's going to be lit, because that's where the moon gets its light from the sun. So if the unlit part, again, he says it was facing towards the sun, then we know he's a liar already, then we throw him out entirely. Lifnei Achama Ola Achar Achama, we ask him, we read that already. The Tzvona Ola Droma, we ask him if the moon was on the northern side of the sky or the southern part of the sky. Kama Haya Gavoa, we ask him how high the moon was from the horizon. Ula Ayin Haya Note, and we ask him, which way were the horns of the crescent, which direction were they pointing? Were they pointing in the north or the south? Again, all these questions, the judges already had some expectation of what it should be, because right, this was not their first rodeo, so they knew approximately what the where the moon should be and how it should be facing. And if one of these questions sounds a little bit off, then they start to ask more intense questions. V'kama hayarachav, and they ask how wide was the crescent of the moon. If the witness then says back to them that the unlit part, again, was facing towards the sun, we know he's for sure he's a liar. And says the Mishnah, he said nothing. We count his testimony as garbage and we throw him out. But let's say, right, they had a great testimony, everything went well. So then they bring in even if it didn't go well, even if the first guy was totally wrong, but so they bring in the second guy and they cross-examine him with the same exact questions. If it happens to be that this first set of witnesses, both of the guys were totally yasher, everything was kosher, and everything they said sounded good, so we accept them and that their testimony is valid. But let's say you have a whole room, right? We said they used to invite them all for a big feast when they came to give their testimony. Let's say you have 100 witnesses left in the room. What do you do? So the judges actually examined each and every single one of the remaining witnesses. Not because we actually need their testimony, because we already accepted the first pair, but rather we don't want them to feel disheartened, right? This whole idea of testifying for the new moon is all about showing these people that we care about. Every single one should come to testify, because you never know. It could happen that, right, one cold winter day, no one's going to want to come except for these two guys that felt disheartened the previous time, so we want to make sure everyone always feels like they could come. Again, we want everyone to feel encouraged to be there. Okay, Mishnah Zion. Rosh Basin Omer Mekudash V'chol Am Onin Acharav Mekudash Mekudash. Once they accepted the witnesses, whichever set of pair it was, whether it was the first or the 31st, they would accept any of the once they accept them, the head of the Basin, he would get up and say Mekudash, that the month is sanctified, and everyone surrounding him would say Mekudash Mekudash. Everyone would agree that it was sanctified. Bein Shnir Bizmano, Bein Shloni Bizmano. So the question is, there are some, right, there's only a few possible days, two possible days that Rosh Chodesh could actually land on. So the question is, when they sanctify the new month, would they have the same process of saying Mekudash when it was the second day of Rosh Chodesh, when it had to be that day, or would they only do it on the first possible day of Rosh Chodesh? So it says the first opinion in the Mishnah, whether the moon was seen in its time, right, which means the night of the 30th day, or whether it was seen on the 31st day, in either of these situations, Mekashino, so they would go through the same process and say Mekudash. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, remember, Rabbi Elazar, so the son of Rabbi Tzadok, says, Imlo nira bizmano, in Mekashino, so shekvar kudushu shamayim. Right, the truth is that since the second day, if the first day wasn't found to be Rosh Chodesh, that means the second day inevitably has to be Rosh Chodesh, and the way the Mishnah refers to it is that God, or Shamayim himself, himself sanctified the new month. So according to the second opinion, he says they only see Mekudash if it was on the first day. If it was on the second day, we don't need to go through this whole process because it was already sanctified by heaven itself. That brings the end of Mishnah Zayin. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Ches. For now, we will stop right here.